Our next guest says to understand inequality in the United States, we have to think like an economist. There are big wage divides in the U.S. by race and gender, for example, and there's a growing gap between people at the top income level and those in the middle. In his new book, our guest weighs the impact of discrimination, changes in technology, globalization, and more, and points to some solutions. Jeffrey Sanzenbacher is an associate professor of the practice of economics and a research fellow at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. His new book is The Six Facts That Matter, Understanding Inequality in the United States. Jeff, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks so much for having me back.
You wrote a book about inequality. You teach about it. As an economist, why is it important to you to focus in on this subject?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's really two reasons. I mean, one is that we see the consequences of rising inequality in a lot of things we don't think about as being economic. So, for example, falling marriage rates, I think, have the root in economic inequality. Things like higher mortality rates among lower and middle income men, especially, have the roots in economic inequality. So I think for that reason, you know, we care. It spills over to other parts of life. And then I also think just as a citizen, we want people to have a fair shot. And I think when we talk about things like racial inequality, gender inequality, inequality across generations, we just don't feel like people are getting that. And so I think those are the two reasons, you know, I really care about it.
Before we dig into the six facts, you're illustrating, you're highlighting points about inequality. Also, I think, trying to educate us a little bit about economics along the way. The term human capital comes up in many of the six facts you talk about. What does that mean?
Yeah, human capital is a really fancy term economists have for things that make you better at work. So things like formal education, a college degree, things like work experience or training you get on your job. These are all things that act like regular capital. You make an investment in yourself, and then you reap the returns of that investment, hence the term capital. So it's investments people make in themselves.
All right. Point one of your 6 points is the falling middle. Now we see economic growth long term. The GDP goes up over time, not necessarily distributed equally at all elements of the income scale. What do you find when you look at who benefits over time?
Yeah, if you look at growth in real GDP per capita in the U.S. over the last 45 years, you know, you've seen that that's roughly doubled in real terms. So even accounting for inflation. Yet if you look at like the middle income male worker, they've seen no real income growth. So none of that growth has really gone to them. And instead, it's gone up the ladder, much further up the ladder. Even if you look at the very top of male earners, you don't see growth that's consistent with economic-wide growth. And so it's really going to that top 1% of all earners. And so that's the first fact I really talk about.
Let's talk a little bit about why that is. And then this ends up being kind of a point of comparison for the other gaps as well. One part of the story you say is technology and the way we've mechanized many workplaces. How is that holding back people in the middle in particular?
Yeah, things like automation and robots, those tools are really good at doing things that are a little bit routine, jobs that require doing something similar over and over again. And it just turns out that those jobs were jobs that tended to be pretty solid middle-class jobs. So if you think the stereotypical example is working on an assembly line at an auto plant, that's a challenging job, but it is a job that can be automated. And that's exactly the kind of job that has been. You know, a computer is good at, you know, at doing something again and again, but it really has trouble adjusting to change. And so, you know, a job like that, that's the kind of thing that a computer can do pretty well.
And at the lower level of income, I hadn't thought of it this way. A computer's not very good at mopping a floor. There's a lot of like weird variables there as opposed to that assembly line. So the middle ends up being hurt. And then why are the people at the top doing so well?
Yeah, you know, the people at the top, I read this funny thing about, there was this big deal in this Amazon warehouse. They invented this robot, and it was a big deal because the robot could maneuver around people, which is also something like a four-year-old person can do. But for a robot, that's really hard. People at the upper level are the people that invent those things. And so they benefit from all these technological changes that kind of can replace people that are squarely in the middle. And so the people that are at the top are inventing those things that do that type of work.
Technology isn't the only part of this falling middle. Globalization and bargaining power. Can you touch on those?
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, it's just a bunch of individual things that all work in the same direction and hold the same group of people's wages down. You know, globalization, what America has in abundance is a highly educated workforce relative to other countries. So when it trades with other countries, that's who tends to benefit. You know, those countries want our highly educated workforce, and that's what they get. what those countries have in abundance are workers that can produce things that, that might have slightly less education. And so those people compete with our workers in that sphere. And so those workers in the US that have less education, those are exactly the ones that are affected by this. And so again, it's this kind of dual force. You have globalization, you have technology both hurting those workers. And then when you talk about declining bargaining power, you know, it's really hard to ask for a raise if you're worried about a robot replacing you. And so, or if you're worried about a worker in another country replacing you. And so those two things work together to result in something like declining unionization, where it's really hard to go in to your boss and say, hey, can I have a raise? And there's a robot, you know, standing behind your boss. That's a little bit ridiculous, but, you know, you get the idea.
Talking to Jeffrey Sanzenbacher, his new book is called The Six Facts That Matter, Understanding Inequality in the United States. Jeffrey, let's dig into a couple of the more specific points here. A gender gap. We know this has been around a long time. Some good news and then some less good news, which is a theme in your book in a lot of ways. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you were to follow the gender wage gap from 1975 to the year 2000, there was tremendous progress. And when, you know, it went from women making 60% of what men make to 80% of what men make. And, you know, as an economist, it's like my contractual duty, if I say something good, to say something bad. I can't always be positive. And so the problem is that it's been 80% since the year 2000. So it's been two decades of just nothing really happening on the gender wage gap. You know, and the reason is for that span of time when things were getting better, women were just rapidly getting more educated. Women were rapidly gaining more work experience. Women were rapidly entering fields they'd never been in before. And then around 2000, that particular brand of progress slowed down, and we're kind of left with some remaining sources of inequality. And the big one is that women still tend to do the majority of things like childcare. You know, I heard when I was listening in the background, I heard that there seems to be something going on in Wisconsin with respect to funding for childcare. And that's really scary, because I think one of the things that really helps women workers make their lives easier is having a good option for childcare and lets them catch up to men. You know, having damage to that is going to hurt women the most.
And then a racial gap. Again, I think no surprise to people. And as you write, not as much progress as we might have expected to see over the years. There's a lot of reasons behind that. Can you highlight a couple of the main ones?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I when I first saw the figure, I was like, I must have made a mistake, because the racial wage gap, you know, for men was 25% in 1975. It's still 25%. There's two big reasons for that. There is still discrimination in labor markets. And that discrimination probably accounts for a third of that gap. And the other two thirds is because Black people to this day, Black people have made a lot of progress with respect to education and catching up to white people over the last 40 years. But the remaining gap is much, much more damaging because of the issues I talked about earlier. And so the fact that Black workers still on average have less education than white workers means that they've been even more hurt by trends like automation, trends like globalization, and the loss of bargaining power have just hurt Black individuals more than they've hurt white individuals. And so, you know, you've had progress on the one front, education, but you one step forward, one step back. The problem is that having less education is even more damaging than it used to be.
I want to spend a little time on some of your solutions. Spoiler alert, you say there are no quick and easy magic solutions, but you do have some suggestions. Policy-wise, where would you start?
You know, one of the big things, I think, if you think about the gender gap and the racial gap, I think one big thing that could help address both is doing a better job in the U.S. on universal childcare and universal pre-K. There is just lots and lots of evidence that having high quality, pre-kindergarten has huge benefits later on in life for individual people, and especially people who start out their lives with less income. And also, there's lots of evidence suggesting that the best way to help women close the wage gap on men is by making it easier to be a woman worker if that's what someone wants to be. And so making childcare better in the U.S., I think, is a really important thing to do to address both of these issues. So that's one thing. The other thing I think on the race front especially is that we have a very segregated society, and that matters because where you live determines a lot about how much your income can go up later in life. And so making sure that people have the ability to move to areas that maybe have more opportunity if they want to. So areas perhaps with more resourced public schools. Right now, we do a really bad job of that. A lot of places actively keep lower income people out through exclusionary zoning policies that make it hard to build multifamily housing. Those kinds of policies, you know, they're not directly racial, but they really are because they're targeting people with less income. And as I just said, those people tend on average to be more likely to be Black.
Another of your solutions that I hadn't really encountered before on the falling middle and mechanization of workplaces, you talk about the tax codes. And if I'm if I own a workplace, if I invest in labor, I'm paying taxes at one level. If I invest in machinery, maybe less. What's going on?
Yeah, there's some really good work by some economists recently that point out that we've made the tax code a lot more favorable to capital recently in a couple ways. One of them is we've made the corporate tax rate lower. The Trump administration's tax cuts did that. We've also made depreciation allowances nicer so that when capital depreciates, you get a big tax break. Those things have made it so that there's an incentive to hire capital. And so we've all been on the phone with like a robotic customer service rep and thought to ourselves, like, that is not better than a person. Like, you know, it's extremely irritating. You know, just sometimes you want to toss the phone across the room. And, you know, that doesn't make sense because we think, well, if a person's better at the job, they should be doing the job. And yet, because it's in some ways cheaper to hire capital, and one of the reasons it's cheaper is because our government is favoring capital, that just gives incentives to replace workers with even subpar capital, like that robotic customer service rep.
Jeff, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Jeffrey Sanzenbacher, Associate Professor of the Practice of Economics at Boston College. He joined us to talk about his new book. It's called The Six Facts That Matter: Understanding Inequality in the United States.